This evening, as we come to God's Word, we come to consider the last piece of furniture that was located within the section of the tabernacle called the Holy Place. We have in previous Lord's Day evenings thought on the table of showbread and also on the golden candlestick. But now as we come to the final piece of furniture found in the Holy Place, we come to the piece of furniture called the altar of incense, or it is also called the golden altar, to distinguish it from the brazen altar. The brazen altar was situated in the court. It was the place where the animal was sacrificed, atonement was made for sin. But the incense altar, or the golden altar, was situated in the Holy Place. It was the last piece of furniture the priest entering the Holy Place would have come to. As we noted before, the Holy Place within the tabernacle represents the believer's life in this world, and of how, as we journey to glory and to the throne room in heaven, and that of course is what is represented by the ark and by the mercy seat and by the holiest of all, it is heaven, it is God's throne. And so therefore, as we journey there, as we pass through this world, we do so in fellowship with God. And that is what is represented in the Holy Place. We are journeying through that place in fellowship with God to glory, to heaven, which is represented by the holiest of all. Therefore, the three different pieces of furniture within the Holy Place all teach us of how the Christian is to seek after and enjoy fellowship with God in this world. The priest coming into the tent of the tabernacle was directed by the light of the candlestick. He was not worshipping in ignorance, but he was led and directed by the light. The table of showbread held food for the priest, and he had to eat that food within the tabernacle. And so within the tabernacle there was not only direction for life, but there was food to sustain and strengthen. And so the lesson is that in fellowship with God, we are directed and we are sustained in this world. We are strengthened. As we then come to the altar of incense, it represents the great privilege of prayer. Privilege of prayer that the believer enjoys in this world. Again, this piece of furniture is all about fellowship with God. And considering the altar of incense, we can say its message is twofold. It speaks about our access in prayer and also about our advocate in prayer. It points to our supplications in prayer and then also to our great supplicator in prayer. This piece of furniture instructs us about intercession, but it also instructs us about the great intercessor. Spiritual life within this world is closely connected to both these great themes. Spiritual life and living for God is closely connected to being in fellowship, being in prayer, and praying often. And that is what will be seen this evening as we look at the incense altar. Spiritual life can only be sustained, can only progress as we live in fellowship and a petition in heaven. Our great advocate, our supplicator, our intercessor is one that sustains us through his continual petitions in heaven. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Notice God's people are saved to the uttermost because Christ ever liveth, meaning he continually lives to make intercession for us. Christ continually, endlessly, ceaselessly is praying for his people in heaven. He never stops. That process continues day in and day out, and night in and night out. Our great intercessor is able to save us to the uttermost, which means he is able to save us from every aspect of sin. And he does this because he prays for us, because he pleads his work and himself before the throne of grace. Therefore, he is able to bring us into a full salvation, a full redemption. He is able to save his people completely and fully and eventually eternally from sin and from its effects. And so how important is the work of our heavenly advocate, Jesus Christ? Robert Murray McShane said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." What a statement of truth. That godly man said, if I could hear Christ praying in the next room, then what confidence that would give me. What strength that would give me to live for God. Yet distance makes no difference. Christ is praying for me. He is pleading for me before his Father's face. And so we see the work of our great advocate is absolutely essential for our spiritual life within this world. But also, the access that we have as God's people in prayer ourselves, it is represented by the incense altar. And it also is absolutely essential for our success in this world and living for God. Just as God gave Israel the altar of incense so they could burn sweet spices upon it, offering that which was a delight to God, so God has given us the altar of prayer so we can offer the desires of our hearts before him. Proverbs 15:8 tells us the prayer of the upright is his delight. And meeting with God at the altar of incense, the priest continued on living in fellowship with God. And so it is for every Christian in this world. If we are to live in the place of blessing, then we must live continually in the spirit of prayer and in seeking God. We must follow the instruction Paul gave to the church in Rome, in Romans 12:12, where he says, continuing instant in prayer. And so the altar of incense leads or teaches us of the one or one of the great necessities for a successful Christian life. The great necessity of prayer. The importance of prayer. Something we cannot ignore. Something that we have to give attention to. As we look then at the altar of incense, there are a number of things that I want us to see this evening about this piece of furniture. Firstly, notice with me its purpose. The purpose of the altar of incense. We read in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 30, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. As with all the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, its purpose was symbolic. It was teaching the people of Israel through its construction and shape and use the great importance and value of prayer. What was the purpose of the altar of incense? It was so Israel could see that God wants his people to seek him and to commune with him. That was the purpose. God was showing them that he wanted his people to be a people that were continually in fellowship with him. And Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, met with the angel and was informed about the birth of John. He was at that time in the temple burning incense. Of course, he was the priest. That was his job. His job was to burn the incense upon the incense altar. But as he did that, we read in Luke 1:10 what the people were doing outside. Luke 1:10 says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And so as Zacharias was inside offering this incense, burning it upon the incense altar, the people outside were praying. Notice, both go hand in hand. The burning of incense and the offering up of prayer. You see, the people understood the connection between that which was symbolic and the reality. They realized when the incense was being burnt, it symbolized how they should seek God, and therefore they sought God at this particular time. This was the time of prayer. The time they laid hold upon God. Therefore, as we examine the symbolism of the altar, we can learn much in how we are to approach and seek God in prayer. The materials used in the construction of the altar of incense point to how prayer can only be offered through the person of Christ. Verse 1 tells us it was made of shittim wood. Verse 3 tells us it was overlaid with pure gold. And as we have noted before, both these materials point to the twofold nature that is only found in Christ. The wood speaks about his humanity, the gold of his deity. And so the God-man is represented by the materials in the incense altar. And what we see here is the only way we can draw near to God in prayer is through he who is both God and man. The altar of incense speaks of Christ. The people of Israel offered incense upon this altar. This was the only altar, the only place where they could burn incense. Where is the only place we can offer prayer? It is through Christ. Through him who is both God and man. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 tells us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Christ the God-man brings God and man together at the place of prayer. As man, he brings man to God. And as God, he brings God to man. And so, communion with God is only possible in this unique and divinely appointed person. Incense could only be offered upon the incense altar. And we can only offer prayer through Christ in His name. This is why we pray in the name of Christ. For it is only through Him that we have access unto God. And our praying, Christ must be central. He must be central. Christ says in John 14 and 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." That will I do. We ask it in His name. We ask through Him. We don't ask through the saints. We don't ask through Mary. We don't even ask through ourselves and through our own righteousness or through our own merit. Our prayers upon that basis will go nowhere. But in Christ, our prayers will ascend towards heaven. And so the materials and the incense altar teach us how we are to pray through Christ in His name. As we think of the dimensions and size of the incense altar, it too has a symbolic purpose. Verse 2 tells us here, "A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 80 shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same." So we're given the dimensions here of the incense altar. It was just 1 cubit wide, and a cubit, I should have said perhaps before now, a cubit is about 18 inches. It is 1.5 feet. It was an old-fashioned measurement that it measured from the tip of the longest finger to the elbow, and that's roughly about 18 inches. And so that was a cubit, about 1.5 feet. And so the incense altar, it measured 1 cubit wide, 1 cubit deep, and then it measured 2 cubits high. Being 2 cubits high, it was the tallest piece of furniture within the tabernacle. You see, in prayer, we see here the direction that we are to pray in. It's up. Praying is that which ascends. It's for the ears of God. The incense altar was the tallest piece of furniture. It was also the narrowest piece. And so I believe we can draw the lesson here. That as we pray, as we seek God, our praying is for God's ears. It's not to man. But we are to address God in prayer. We're to seek Him and call upon Him. The incense altar clearly stood out as the tallest piece of furniture that was there in the holy place. It's also interesting to point out the Ark of the Covenant was 1.5 cubits high. And then upon the Ark of the Covenant, there sat the mercy seat. It was placed upon it. And upon the mercy seat, God was pleased to meet with Israel. Now the incense altar sat just outside the Ark of the Covenant. And so, here we have this tall piece of furniture that sat at the same level where God dwelt upon the mercy seat. The incense altar sat at the same level where God dwelt upon the mercy seat. What is that teaching us? What was that teaching Israel? It was teaching Israel how they, as they approached God in prayer, prayer lifted them right up into God's presence. Into that place where God dwells. Right before Him. To the throne of heavenly grace we come. Isn't that what it says in the New Testament? Prayer lifts us out from this world, up from this world, up to glory itself, and we get onto the throne of grace with boldness. You see here, the exalted nature of prayer, speaking and communing with the eternal God, is a most solemn, yet a most wonderful thing. We are lifted up from the things of this world to speak with He who is the Ancient of Days, the Great I Am. So we see the purpose of the incense altar. It was symbolic, and its symbolic teaching is very significant. Then notice not only its purpose, but also its position. Verse 6 tells us, "Thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee." Notice where God had directed Moses and Israel to put the incense altar before the veil. before the mercy seat. In other words, the incense altar was the piece of furniture that was closest to the mercy seat, where God manifested His presence. The altar of incense brought the worshipper as close to God as was possible. Of course, the veil was there separating the priest from the ark and the mercy seat. The veil that was in the tabernacle and in the temple reminded Israel that redemption still was not complete. And man was still not able to come boldly into the holiest. That's what the veil reminded Israel of. Their redemption, their salvation, yet was not complete because Christ had not died. He had not made atonement. But of course, when Christ died and accomplished a full redemption for His people, we read there in the New Testament, the veil was rent and twain from the top to the bottom, signifying that a full redemption had been made. And so man can come now boldly onto the throne of grace. The hymn writer says, no more veil, God bids us enter by the new and living way. Therefore, as we look at the position, or as we position ourselves before God in prayer, there is fellowship and communion with God in the most intimate and in the most close sense. The incense altar in the tabernacle was situated as close as it could be to the mercy seat. The veil separated. But we now, as God's people, there is no more veil. Therefore, in our praying, we are positioned before God in the most intimate and in the most close sense. The heavenly scene depicted through the tabernacle is revealed in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. If we turn over there to Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, we see here the actual scene in heaven. Not just the picture as it is seen in the tabernacle, but the actual scene in heaven. In Revelation chapter 8, in the verse 3, it tells us, and another angel came, Revelation 8, 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Notice there's no mention of a veil. None whatsoever. But the prayers of the saints are poured out before the throne. In the presence of the throne. There's no more barrier. We can now come in prayer before God in Christ. In that intimate sense. Right into the throne room of heaven and speak with God as a man doth with his friend. As we come to God in prayer, this great reality that we draw very near to God ought to solemnize our hearts and govern our speech. Prayer is a most solemn thing. We are drawing near to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. And what great comfort that is. God is nigh. God draws near. We draw near to Him. And that is very clearly seen in the incense altar. We're very near to God in prayer. We meet with God. There's that intimacy. Now more so than ever because the veil has been rent. What comfort that is. And yet, what a solemn reality that is. We are positioning ourselves in God's presence. The priest that served in the tabernacle, he could look from any position within the camp and see the Shekinah glory descending there upon the mercy seat. And he knew that God dwelt amongst them. But as the priest came to the gate of the tabernacle, he was so much more conscious that he was drawing near to God. As he then went inside the tent, perhaps as he was dressing the lamps or he was setting the table in order with the bread, he would have been even more conscious that he was drawing close to God. But then as he came to the incense altar and to burn the incense upon it, all that separated him from God's presence was the veil. How this would have impacted upon all that he did. He would have done it solemnly and reverently and earnestly. What I want to say is, in prayer there is to be no flippancy. It's not to be done casually. How the priest would have done it so carefully. He was now in God's immediate presence. standing as it were before God. And that's where we are in the place of prayer. Speaking in the presence of the thrice holy one. How this solemn reality would have burned into his soul. I know that God would give us such a consciousness of his presence in the place of prayer. That we would realize that as we pray, we are drawing near to God. Very near to God. God is drawing near to us. Therefore, we are to pray earnestly and thoughtfully and carefully. You see the position here of the incense altar. The purpose of the incense altar. Notice also its petitions. Verse 7 tells us in Exodus 30, "And Aaron shall burn the drawn sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it." The altar of incense was the place where prayer was offered. As we've already noted, it represents Christ in whose name we pray. He is the one in whom we come before God, and through him, in his name, he is the mediator. But the petitions and words that we use in prayer are represented at the incense altar by the incense itself. This incense offered upon the altar was burnt, and as it was burnt, it ascended towards heaven as a sweet smelling fragrance. Ascended towards heaven as a sweet smelling odor unto the Lord. David praying in Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." That was David's desire. That his prayer would be set before God as incense. What did he mean? He meant that his prayers would be sweet to God. It would be sweet in his nostrils. You see, the fragrance that filled the tabernacle was the fragrance of prayer. It was the smell of communion with God. No matter what part of the tent of the tabernacle the priests were in, they would have been continually conscious of the need to commune with God and to petition God. This sweet fragrance burning upon the incense altar reminded the priest of how God's house is the house of prayer. And all that was done there ought to be done in the spirit of prayer. Worship was continually to be in the spirit of prayer. The smell of the incense reminded the priest of this continually. As the priest came in and out from the tabernacle, he had upon him the scent of incense. Or we could say he had upon him the scent of prayer. People meeting the priest in the camp would have known that he'd been in God's presence because he smelt that way. He smelt of one that had been with God. You know, I believe in the tabernacle, the great importance of prayer and bringing our habitations before God is so emphatically brought before us. Think about it. The altar of incense was situated closest to God in the tabernacle. Closest to God. That's significant. We draw close to God in prayer. Notice also, the altar of incense was that which flavored every part of worship within the tabernacle, filling the tent with a sweet fragrance. It flavored every other aspect of worship. You see, that's the way we ought to worship. In the spirit of prayer. Coming to God's house in the spirit of prayer. Reading our Bibles in the spirit of prayer. Living in the spirit of prayer. Incense was that which flavored every part of worship in the tabernacle. And the spirit of prayer ought to flavor our lives. It was also the smell of the incense that the priests would have carried out of the tabernacle, back into the camp, and in among the people. You see, what God was teaching here is the great value and importance of prayer and petitioning him. All that we do as Christians must be done in the spirit of prayer. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. There Paul is speaking about putting on the whole armor of God. And there's the different parts of the armor. And we put on the armor that we might be able to live for God and fellowship with God. But as we do all of these things, we're to do all of these things in the spirit of prayer, praying always. And so prayer in the tabernacle is emphatically set before us as an essential part of our worship, an essential part of our living in fellowship with God and living for God in this world. Prayer is that which delights God. It delights God. This was sweet spices. And what was God telling the people of Israel? By these sweet spices, this lovely aroma, this lovely smell, God was saying, I delight in your praying. I want you to offer a prayer to me. That is what I look for. That is what I desire. That my people call upon me that they pray. That is what God was teaching them. Oh, if our lives and our worship as God's people were continually flavored by prayer, how different would our lives be? Sadly, this is so often not the case. We come to God's house. We come to the place of worship. And we get nothing out of it, but have never asked for anything in the first place. We live defeated Christian lives, but we never ask for victory. We see little happening in our community and in our families and in our lives, but we've asked for little. We've asked for little. God was reminding Israel here of how their lives must be fragranced by prayer. So we see the petitions here. The sweet smelling incense. Then notice quickly also its power. Not only its purpose and its position and its petitions, but notice its power. Verse 10 tells us, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in a year shall he make atonement upon it. Throughout your generations, it is most holy unto the Lord. When we looked at the brazen altar, we noted that the horns on the brazen altar speak of power and strength. We see this clearly in the animal kingdom. Certain animals fight and conquer their enemies and their opponents by using the power and strength that is in their horns. An animal with great horns or great antlers is able to take on his opponents and defeat his opponents. And so horns speak about power and strength. The horns on the brazen altar testify of how the blood of sacrifice had power to deal with sin. It's power to satisfy divine justice and bring peace between God and the sinner. But now we see that the incense altar has also got horns. And the horns upon the incense altar, they testify of the power that the Christian enjoys in the place of prayer. The power the Christian enjoys with God in prayer. The power the believer enjoys with God in prayer is twofold, we can say here. There's power through sacrifice. Power through sacrifice. See what Aaron had to do here once a year. He had to take the blood of the sin offering and sprinkle it upon the horns of the incense altar. This was setting forth the great truth that our acceptance before God in prayer and our merit before God in prayer is merit upon is based upon the merits of the shed blood. The blood of Christ is the Christian's great argument and plea in the place of prayer. That is what our plea is. Incense offered upon the incense altar that had blood sprinkled upon its horns was incense offered upon the merits of the atoning blood. And this is how we must pray. Pray upon the merits of Christ's atoning work. Pleading the merits of what he has done for us. Say, Lord, hear prayer. Answer prayer. Let the blood of your holy Son that has been shed avail for me and avail for your work. That is our greatest argument. In fact, that's our only argument in prayer. Lord, look upon the blood. Look upon the atonement of Christ. Look upon all that he has done. Look upon his sacrifice. Bless me in that. Or because of that, what arguments we have when we keep before us the work of Christ for us. Perfect work. The perfect Savior. His sinless blood. What value and what worth there is in that blood. The blood speaks about the life. The life of the soul is in the blood. And when we plead the blood before the throne of grace, we're pleading the life of Christ, all the merits of Christ, all the value of Christ. Think about it. We are sinners. Why would God ever bless us? Why would God even acknowledge us? He's a holy God, he wouldn't. But we've got a holy advocate. a holy mediator, a holy representative. And we're praying, Lord, bless us because of His holiness and His righteousness. That's what we do. And so we see this is the power that we have in prayer, the power of the work of Christ, the power of the shed blood. We ought to pray, Lord, let the blood of Christ prevail for me and for your own work. There's a nice example of this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. If you just turn there for a moment, we see here one of the great prayers in the Word of God. This was when Elijah was praying and he made the sacrifice upon Mount Carmel. He built the altar and he was about to see God for fire to fall. This is one of the great prayers in the Bible. Notice what he does. I don't even really want to look at his words, but just what he does here. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. What does that mean? It was the time of the evening sacrifice. That's the burnt sacrifice, the sacrifice for sin. And it tells us, and Elijah the prophet came near. What did he do? He came near the sacrifice. What was he doing? As he was about to pray, he was showing that he was pleading the merits of sacrifice. And that was his very first thing in the place of prayer. He came near the sacrifice. It was the evening sacrifice, the sacrifice that was offered for a burnt offering, to atone for sin, to turn God's wrath away. And that was how Elijah began to pray. And of course we knew how, when he prayed, God answered him. Because he pleaded the merits of the sacrifice, he drew near. And that's what we need to do in the place of prayer. Draw near to Christ and to His work. And we will know power in the place of prayer. And so there's power through the sacrifice. There's also in the place of prayer power through the Spirit. Power through the Spirit. The incense was burnt, as verse 7 says. It was the burning of the incense that caused it to ascend heavenward, to become that sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is the symbol of fire. When the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, we read in Acts 2 and 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And so we can see that fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And the fire that was upon the incense altar speaks to us of how we need the help of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in the place of prayer. We need the help of God. We need our prayers to be mingled and to be energized by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 26, well-known words. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We need the fire of God in our praying. The fire of God's Spirit upon us. That's true praying. The fire upon the incense altar produced heat. It produced heat. And of course, heat speaks about energy. It speaks about fervency. And so, as we're shown here, that there must be fervency and energy in the place of prayer. James tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jude also says we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, prayer that is carried out without the power of the Spirit of God, without the energy and fervency of heaven, it's just a matter of accumulating words. It's not really praying. Imagine there was the priest coming into the incense altar and he had his spices, but he had no fire. There'd be nothing that would happen. It would just sit there upon the altar in a puddle. It wouldn't ascend to heaven. It wouldn't be sweet in the nostrils of God. And you see how much we need the help of God's Spirit in the place of prayer. We need to pray more and more that God will come upon us. And God will make us a people that know how to pray. And can intercede. And pray with fervency and with energy. This is not speaking about eloquence. Or the ability to use words in a way that is attractive to man. But this is God burning into our hearts. Given us a burden to pray, a desire to pray, a will to pray. This power in the place of prayer was through the Spirit. It's also interesting to note that the fire that was upon the incense altar was taken from the brazen altar. It was taken from the brazen altar, the place of atonement. And of course, we can only enjoy the help of the Spirit because of what happened at the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, and what Christ did. He said in John 16:7, "If I go not away," and he was speaking about going to the cross, "then the Comforter will not come." But Christ went away. He went to the cross. And from the cross of Christ flows to us the power of God's Spirit to enable us to live and to pray and to do the things we must do as God's people. What power there is in the place of prayer. How we need to seek God for this power and this help. Then finally and quickly, notice here this, about the incense altar, its perpetuality. In verse 8 it tells us, "And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation." Incense was to be offered upon the altar continually. It is called here a perpetual incense. Speaking about how it's a continual incense. This fragrance of incense was to ascend heavenward endlessly. God was teaching Israel that all his people and all his people of the need to continually be in the place of prayer. To continue on in the attitude of prayer and intercession. In the early New Testament church, prayer was made without ceasing, we read. And what blessing rested upon God's work then? God has not changed. Not changed one iota. The history of the church has taught this lesson time and time again. When God's people seek him, and when God's people earnestly seek him, and when they use, so to speak, the incense altar, then God is pleased to move. And God is pleased to come and visit us again. God desires that we seek him perpetually and continually. That we will live in communion with him. From our hearts, the sweet fragrance of prayer might implore heaven that God will manifest his grace more and more in our lives and more in this world. May God help each one of us to be people of prayer. People that know what it is to seek him and to know him. May God by his Spirit come upon us and give us help even with this great necessity and this great duty that is ours as his people. Amen.